Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Brachos Daf Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief four-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Following the conclusion of our regular Daf Yomi Gemara Shiur, we will offer a supplemental Shiur covering the Tosfos of our Daf for those who are interested. We turn to the very top line of Daf Gimel, where the Gemara continues referring to that which we learned back on Daf Beis Amud Beis regarding the beginning times of Kriya Shema Shel Arvis. The Gemara asks, Kashya de Rebbe Meir ad de Rebbe Meir. You'll notice that we have a little star to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. If you can go back to Daf Beis Amud Beis, you will notice two stars also to the right of the Gemara text. One of them, the first of them, is on the upper half of the page, pointing to a line, or opposite a line, where you see Rebbe Meir's name. Rebbe Meir had mentioned that the beginning time for Kriya Shema of Arvis is B'shah she'b'nei Odom nichnos lecho piton ba'arvei Shabbosus. Later on the page, you see Rebbe Meir saying that the beginning time for Kriya Shema Shel Arvis is M'shah she'hakoyinim toivlin lecho b'trumoson. So there seems to be a stira within Rebbe Meir, a contradiction. And that's what the Gemara means here when it says Kashya de Rebbe Meir, ad Rebbe Meir. On the one hand, Rebbe Meir speaks about B'nai Odom on Erev Shabbos. And the second Rebbe Meir speaks about the from the Shas Tevila of the Kohanim. The Gemara answers, Trei Tanoi Aliba de Rebbe Meir. There are two opinions of Tanoim, of later Tanoim, as to what Rebbe Meir himself holds, and these two Tanaic opinions are reflected in these two statements of Rebbe Meir. The Gemara asks another question along the same lines, Kashyo de Rebbe Eliezer, Ada Rebbe Eliezer. We saw Rebbe Eliezer in the Brisa on Daf Beis Amud Beis. He was found on the lower half of the page. Rebbe Eliezer said the beginning time of Kriya Shema of Arvis is from the time that people say Kiddush on Erev Shabbos, which we explained was Bein HaShemoshes. We saw Rebbe Meir in the Mishnah that spoke about from the time that Kohanim, who were Tomei, can resume eating Truma after their Tuma period. So, once again, there seems to be a contradiction within Rebbe Eliezer as to what the beginning time of Kriya Shema is. So, there are two responses to this. Number one, Trei Tanoi Aliba Rebbe Eliezer. What we are seeing is two Tanaic opinions as to what Rebbe Eliezer himself actually holds. V'iboy Esema, another approach, Reisha Lav Rebbe Eliezer He. The Reisha is a reference to the Mishnah. And the beginning time of Kriya Shema in our Mishnah on Daf Beis Amud Aleph, which spoke about Mishol Shakoyinim Nechnosan Lecho B'Trumasan, is in fact not Rebbe Eliezer. You'll ask, but Rebbe Eliezer's name appears at that point in the Mishnah. So what the Gemara here is saying is that Rebbe Eliezer in the Mishnah refers only to the end time of Kriya Shema. Ad Sof Hashmua Rishona. However, as far as he who said that the beginning time is from the time that the Kohanim eat their Truma, that's not Rebbe Eliezer speaking. So, according to this, there is no contradiction in Rebbe Eliezer's as as a result of the first Mishnah not being a statement of Rabbi Eliezer's beginning time for Kriya Shema. Ad Sof Hashmura. In our Mishnah on Daf Beis Omer Aleph, we saw that the end time of Kriya Shema Arvis is until the end of the first Ashmura, literally the first watch. We spoke about the night being divided into parts, into fractions, and the time during which a person, or up till which he is allowed to say Kriya Shema of the evening is up till the end of the first Ashmura. The Gemara here will ask as to what is the intent of the first Ashmur, what is meant by the first watch or the first breakdown. The Nosei, the topic heading that accompanies this piece of Gemara, is on the side, the outside margin. You will see that we've written under the Nosei, Birur Shitas Rabbi Eliezer, an attempt to clarify the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, Domar Zman, Kriya Shema Arvis, Ad Sof Ashmur Rishona. Kiman Sover Legabi Minyan Mishmoros Halayla. We will be looking into the question of who does he hold like regarding to the number of Mishmoros the night has. How many Mishmoros is the night broken down to? How many watches, how many fractions or segments does the night have? And number two, Simonim Ladas Mosai Kol Mishmoru Mishmor. The Gemara will feature signs, naturally occurring signs, in order to recognize when that particular Mishmor or segment ends or begins, as the Gemara will clarify. Number three, Hayim Simonim Elu Heim L'Tchilosa O L'Sofa Shel Kol Mishmeres. After the Gemara gives us signs, the Gemara will want to know, are these signs of the beginning of that segment of the night, or signs of the end of a particular segment of the night? Now turning to the Gemara. My Kosova Rabbi Eliezer. What is Rabbi Eliezer's opinion? I Kosova Sholosh Mishmoros Have Halaylo. If he holds that the night is broken down into three segments, he should have said, Lemo Ad Arba Shos, that the time for Kriya Shema recitation lasts till the fourth hour of the night. The night being broken down into 12 hours, so each segment having 4 hours, 3 times 4 is 12. The I Kosova Arba Mishmoros Havi Halaylo, if he is of the opinion that the night is broken down into 4 segments, lema, then he should have said Ad Shalosh Shos, until the end of 3 hours of the night. In other words, whatever Rabbi Lezer's opinion as to the number of segments the night has, he should have given a clear time, either 3 hours into the night or 4 hours into the night. Le'olam Kosovar Shalosh Mishmoros Havi Halaylo. Rabbi Eliezer is of the opinion that the night is broken down into 3 segments. The Ha Komash Malon, from the fact that he didn't give us a clear time, but rather sufficed to say until the end of the first Mishmar, he is really telling us the Iko Mishmaros Borakia, the Iko Mishmaros Be'ara. There are segments of the night in heaven, and there are segments of the night on earth, and they are clear to everybody. The Rashi explains, V'ho komash molon, kishenosan loch simin zman ha-kriya b'soif ha-shmura, when he told us that the end time for Kriya Shema is the end of the first segment, and that's all he said, v'lo pirush loch simin mefurash, and he didn't give us any clearer sign, limdecha, he teaches us, sheish heker l'chol adam badovar, that it's clear and recognizable to all people in this matter. Ki hechi de'iko berukia, just like in heaven they know when the segment ends, so too we, as human beings, can know as well. The Gemara continues, Desanya, the Tanaic source, reveals this information. You can see we have a framed section elaborating on this point, featuring Rabbi Eliezer, the very Tana that we're analyzing. Rabbi Lezer Omer Sholosh Mishmoros Havi Halaylo. The night is broken down into three segments, three watches. Val Kol Mishmoru Mishmor Yosheva Kodesh Baruch Hu Shoei Koari. And at each segment, the Almighty sits and roars like a lion. Shinemar, the pasuk says, Hashem Mimorom Yishag Umimoin Kodesho Yitain Koiloi Shaoi Yishag Al Novehu. The pasuk describes the Almighty roaring forth, screaming from on high concerning His dwelling, concerning the Beis Hamikdash, the Naveu, His dwelling, His destroyed Beis Hamikdash. The Simen Ladavar, signs of this are as follows: Mishmora Rishona Chamor Noer. The first segment is characterized by a braying donkey. Shnia Klovim Tzoakim. The second segment, dogs are screaming. Shlishis Tinuk Yoinik Mishtei Imoi V'Isha Misaperes Im Baila. A child suckles from his mother, and a woman speaks with her husband. It may be pointed out that this Gemara, and as is true as many, many other Gemaras, have a lot of hidden secrets encouched in the seeming simple words that we have learned, but the true or deeper meaning of these Gemaras lies beyond the purview of our Gemara markings Daf Yomi Shiur. However, don't take things at their superficial value and leave it as that. However, for our purposes, it will suffice to say that the segments of the night are characterized by perceptible, audible phenomenon, and therefore we can recognize when they occur, and therefore it's enough for Rabbi Elazar in the Mishnah to say that the end of the time for Kriyat Shema is at the end of the first segment of the night. And if you ask, when is that? The answer to that is, well, it is something that one can perceive. It's the time that the donkey brays. The Gemara asks a question, lasts a few lines. You can see we have a long question marking to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. My Kochoshiv Rabbi Eliezer. What is Rabbi Eliezer considering when he features these signs and segments? E Tchilas Mishmoros Kochoshiv. If he is denoting the beginning of each segment, well, Tchilas Mishmor Rishona Simono Lomali. As far as the beginning of the first segment, what do I need a sign for? Urtahu. It is night, meaning it is with the appearance of stars, what we call Tseis HaKechovim. That is sufficient. You don't have to add another sign for the beginning of the first segment. So it's questionable as to saying that Rabbi Elazar is featuring the beginnings, these signs representing the beginnings of the segments. Isof Mishmoros Kochoshev, if he's giving us a list of signs for the end of each segment, Sof Mishmor Achrona Lomali, what do I need a sign for the end of the last segment? Yimomahu, that's with the sun shining forth, with daybreak. That is the end of the last Mishmar. So I don't need an additional sign. The Gemara answers. Now this is a long answer. You can see we have a long answer marking the encircled tuff with the descending vertical dashed line to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. There are two answers given. Ela Choshiv Sof Mishmara Rishona. These signs represent the end of the first Mishmar, Utchilas Mishmar Achrona, the beginning of the last segment, then Soyist and Seosa, and the middle of the middle segment. So for those points in time, you don't have other natural phenomena to rely on in order to determine where you are holding. V'boy Seima, another approach, is Kuhu Sof Mishmaros Kochoshiv. All of these are the end are signs of the end of each segment. The Chitema Chrono Lotzor, you might ask, well, the end of the last segment doesn't need a sign. We said daybreak is the sign. That's enough. You don't need an additional sign. Lamai Nafgamina, what practical bearing is there in having a sign for the end of the last segment? The answer is, it has value. Lamikri Kriyashma Laman Degoni Beveis ofel v'lo yoda zman kriyashma emas. It has bearing for the halacha of recitation of morning kriyashma for one who dwells in a dark house. Goni is to he sleeps in a bayis ofel, a dark house, and he doesn't know when the morning kriyashma time has arrived. Kevon de isha misaperas in bailo v'tinok yonik mishte imo lekum v'likri. When he hears a woman speaking with her husband, maybe hears through the wall next apartment, or a child suckles from his mother, he knows that this is the time that kriyashma of the morning has arrived. Omar Rav Yitzchok bar Shmuel mishmei derav shlosha mishmoros havi halaylo. The evening has three segments. Ve'al kol mishmoru mishmor yoshev hakodesh baruch hu v'shoei kari. And during each mishmor, the kodesh baruch hu roars like a lion. Ve'omer, and he proclaims, Oy lobonim shabu nesem higrachavti es besi. Woe unto the children through whose sins I had to destroy my Beis Hamikdash. Ve'sarafti es hecholi, and I burnt my hechal, the building of the Beis Hamikdash, v'iglesim lebein umos ha'olam, and I was forced to exile them amongst the nations of the world. Tanya. We have a Tanaic source. As you can see, it's a rather long source. It's in a frame going to the bottom, the second to last line. And before we learn the source, let's glance at the outside margin under the topic heading, the Nosei, Rab Yosi Nichnas L'Churba. We will see that Rab Yosi enters a ruin, the Hispalel, in order to daven, V'shamotza L'Yohan Novi Mamtin Lo Eitzel HaPesach. And there he noticed the prophet Eliyahu HaNovi waiting for him at the entranceway to this ruin. B'mifgash zu nilmad shlosha halachos b'hilchas tefila. In the course of this encounter, we will learn three halachos that pertain to davening. Tanya, the source begins. Omer Rav Yosi pam achas hoyisi mahalech baderech. I was once walking on the road, v'nichnasti l'churbo achas mechurbos Yerushalayim l'spalane, and I entered one of the ruins of Yerushalayim in order to daven. Bo Eliyahu zachur latov, v'shomar li al ha-pesach, ad shesiyamti tfilosi. And Eliyahu Hanovi came, Eliyahu zachur latov, may he be remembered for good, and he waited for me at the entrance until I finished my davening. Lachar shesiyamti tfilosi, when I finished my davening, Omar li, shalom alecha Rebbe. He greeted me with this greeting, shalom alecha Rebbe. V'amarti lo, and I responded with a greeting, shalom alecha Rebbe umori. Omar li, bini, mipnei ma nichnasto l'chur bazu. He said, my son, why have you entered this ruin? Omarti loi l'hispalo, I entered in order to daven. The Omar li hoya l'chol hispalo baderech, you should have davened on the road. The Omarti lo, and I said back to him, Misyore hoyisi, I was fearful shemi yafsiku bi oivrei drochim. The passers-by on the road may interrupt my davening, cause a hefsik, or an interruption, we'll say. The Omar li hoya l'chol hispalo tefila ketzora, then you should have davened a tefila ketzora, literally an abbreviated prayer. At that point I learned from him three things. Lomadati she'en nichnosim l'churba, I learned that one is not to enter a ruin. Lomadati she'mispalim baderech, and I learned that one can daven on the road. Lomadati she'mispal baderech mispal tefila ketzora, that one who chooses to daven on the road, he should daven this abbreviated davening. The Omar li, and he said to me, Bini makul shamata b'chur bazu, what voice did you hear when you were in the ruin? The Omarti lo, and I responded, Shomati baskol, I heard a heavenly voice, Shemenahemis kiyoino, that was humming like a dove, the Omeris, and was proclaiming, Oy lubonim shavonoseim echrafti es besi, v'sarafti es hecholi, v'iglisim lebein ha'umos. woe unto the children who through whose sins I destroyed my house, burnt my heichal, and exiled them amongst the nations of the world. The Omar Li and Elio said to me, Chayecho v'chaye roshcha. That's an expression by your life and by your life, the life of your head. It's an expression indicating a vow. Lo sha'a zu bilvad omer eskach, not just this moment it says thusly, the voice that you heard, Elo b'chol yoim v'yoim sholosh pomim omer eskach, every day, three times a day, it says thusly. V'lo zu bilvad, not this, not only this, Elo b'shal shi'israel nichnosim l'bote knesius l'bote midrashois, when the Jewish people enter the shuls, the synagogues, and Bote Midrashos, the halls of study, the Oinin, and they say, Yehei Shmei Hagodol Mevorach, they say that prayer, which can be associated with what we call the Kaddish, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Minanea Roshoi V'Oimer, the Almighty nods his head, so to speak, and says, Ashrei HaMelech Shemekalsin Oisoi B'Veisoi Kach, fortunate is the king whose who is praised in his house thusly. This idea of Shemekalsin Oso Beveso Kach, Rashi explains, Ashrei Kolzman Shoyo Kilus Zebesok Beisamish, fortunate is the king who heard this praise as long as his house, the Beis Hamikdash, was still standing. Ma lo la'av Shehiglo Azbonov. What does the father have who exiled his sons? Woe unto the children who have been exiled from their father's table. Tanu Rabbanan. We have a Tanaic source that focuses on this issue of entering, or the prohibition of entering, a ruin. And it says, Mipnei shloisha dvarim ein nechnosim l'churba. For three reasons. One is not to enter a churba, a ruin. Mipnei chashad, because of being suspect of immorality, of people saying that a harlot is waiting for him there. Number two, Mipnei hamapolis, because of the fear of the structure falling down. Umipnei hamazikin, and because of evil forces, spiritual forces that could render damage to the individual. A volcano shape, we call, which is in effect a trapezoid, appears and is explained in the outside under our Nosei Mivne heading, where you see the trapezoid, and we've written Shlosh Sibois, three reasons, Shalolis Bala Bechorba. The trapezoid will highlight these three reasons. Hagmara Tidon B'Sheila, the Gemara will deal with the following question, Lamat Srifin Gimel Sibois, what do I need three reasons, Ladin Ze, for this particular law, the prohibition of entering a Chorba? V'lo Sagi B'Tam Echad, why isn't one explanation sufficient? The Gemara. Mitnei chashad, that was stated in the source as a reason not to enter a churba. V'tepukle mishum mapoilas, why not learn out the prohibition based on the fear that the structure may fall in? In other words, what do I need three reasons for one prohibition? We now continue on Amid Beis. Bechadati, if it's a recently fallen structure, being that it's recently fallen in, the wall, the remaining structure, is still solid. And as a result of that, Mapoles would not be a sufficient reason for prohibiting his entrance. Therefore, in the case of a recently fallen ruin, where the remnants are there just as a result of a recent falling, the fear of continued falling is not present. But there is a fear that people will be aroused to suspect him of immorality. The Gemara asks, so if we are featuring a newly fallen in source, v'tepukle mishum mazikin, so couldn't we say that because of mazikin he should not enter? Why does the source need the reason of chashad? Answer, the need of the case of chashad is betray, where you're dealing with two people. So two people entered a recently fallen in ruin. The reason not to enter is because of chashad. E betray, if you're talking about two people, then chashad nami lekov. There is no issue of suspect immorality. People conduct themselves immorally when no one is watching. But where he is with a fellow, with another man, there is no chashad problem. So at this point, if you're dealing with two people walking into a recently fallen ruin, so you don't have a mapolis reason, you don't have a mazikin consideration, and you shouldn't have a chashad reason either. So there should be no prohibition. The Gemara answers, betray upritzi. If you have two loosely moral people whose moralities aren't on the up and up, so they will arouse a chashad, a suspicion amongst people. Therefore, they are instructed because of chashad not to enter a ruin. Mipnei hamapolis. We saw in the source the fear of the structure falling in as being given. Why is that the reason not to enter? V'tepukle mishum chashad umazikin. Isn't there a reason because of suspicion or fear of demons? The Gemara says the case of mapolis is needed as a reason forbidding entrance to a ruin, betray uksheir. If you're dealing with two people that are of proper moral standing. So if you have two people that are of proper moral standing, there still is a prohibition of entering a ruin because of the fear that it might fall in. And it goes without saying that the mapolis reason is given for a case where it's not a recently fallen in ruin. So just to take accounting of what we've covered, the reason of chashad is given in the case of trei upritzi. And it's a mapoles chadati, a recently fallen in ruin. The fear of mapoles is given if you have two people that are kosher, two moral individuals, in an old ruin. Number three, mipnei hamazikin, a third reason was given not entering a ruin, because of the fear of demons. The tepukle mipnei chashad umapolis. Why isn't it the ban because of the consideration of immorality or it falling in? So the Gemara answers, the case of mazikin will be necessary under the following circumstances. And notice we have a little aleph here. This aleph represents the first of two hesberim, of two explanations. So we're going to answer why, when is the case of mipnei hamazikin applicable? Bechurba chadati ubetrei uksheri. A recently fallen in ruin with regard to two moral individuals. If that's the case, so only because of mazikin they should not enter. The Gemara asks, e betray, if you're talking about two people, then mazikin nami leko, then the mazikin consideration doesn't apply either, because demons don't attack unless you are alone. The Gemara answers, b'mekoimon chayshinon. In their place, where it's known that demons are concentrated or dwell, so in such a place, if you have a ruin located, let's say, out in the fields where mazikin tend to be concentrated, so in such a case, there, even though they are two, they should not enter. So if you have two morally upstanding individuals, we will tell them, don't enter a ruin in a place that demons are known to congregate. The Iboy Esema, another approach to the case of Mipnei HaMazikin, is Le'olam Bechad. We are talking about one person, U'Bechur Bechadati, Dekoy Bedabra, a recently fallen in ruin that's out in the fields. Dehasa Mishum Chashad Leko, the Isha Bedabra Lo Shicha. In such a case, there is no chashad consideration because the harlot, a woman, is not going to wait alone out in a ruin that's located far away out in a field. That's uncommon. And it's recently fallen in, so you don't have a mapolis consideration either. The only consideration is the mazikin consideration, which is the case because of the fact that he is alone. Before going on in the Gemara, we want to draw your attention to a little chart that we have on the outside margin. We call it tavla, a table or a chart. Under what circumstances is each one of the reasons considered the only reason for not entering a ruin? So you can see on the left-hand side of this table, you have the reasons, chashad, mapolis, and mazikin. When is chashad the reason, the only reason? So on the right-hand side, you see, if it's trei, uprisi, b'chur b'chadati, two immoral kind of people in a recently fallen ruin, the only reason we can give for not entering is because of chashad. And so on and so forth, as we learned in the Gemara. Turning back to the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan. Before we learn the Gemara itself, let's glance under our Nosei heading in the outside margin, where we've written Machloikis Tanoim. We will see a Tanaic controversy, Kamo Mishmoros Havi Halayla. How many segments does a night, in fact, have? Uma Kol Shita Oisa Im Hamakoros Shel Hasheni. What does each opinion do? What does each one do with the other one's sources? You'll see the use of a double underline, which we've featured under our Mivneh heading. My taima de, what is the reason for each one of the opinions? We'll have Rabbi Nosson will be featured and Rebbe will be featured. So now the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan, Arba Mishmoros Havi Halayla, the great Rebbe. Rebbe is of the opinion that the night is broken down into four segments. Rabbi Nosson Omer, Shalosh, three. My time of the Rabbi Nosson, what's the basis of Rabbi Nosson's three segments? Dechtiv, the Pasuk says, Vayovo Gidoin, Umeo Ish Asher Itoi, Bekze HaMachane, Roish Ho Ashmores Hatichoina. It says that Gidon arrived with his 100 men at the edge of the camp at the beginning of the middle segment or middle watch. Tana ein tichona elo sheish lufanel achreha. The term tichona is used when there is one before and one after, so that if the pasuk describes the middle ashmores, the middle mishmar, the middle watch, therefore we can conclude that there's one before, one after, for a total of three mishmaros, as Rabbi Nosson said in the source. The Rebbe, now, you notice we swill on Rebbe. The swill on line is a marking that we use in many Gemaras to highlight the names when there seems to be a back and forth discussion between the two opinions. Here we continue, Rebbe. We turn to Rebbe, who said that there are four my tichona. How does Rebbe understand the word tichona? Answer: Achas min hatichona sheba tichonas. One of the middle ones. In other words, the fact that the pasuk makes reference to something in the middle, it doesn't mean it's solitary, but rather it's one of two middle mishmaros. Rabbi Nosson, his response to Rebbe is, Miksiv tichona sheba tichonais. Does it say that middle of the middle ones? Tichonoksiv. It speaks in the singular, the middle one, indicating that there's only one middle mishmar. My time the Rebbe. What is the basis of Rebbe? Om Rabbi Zrik, Om Rabbi Ami, Om Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. He will give us a reason, but before we go further, a triangle appears, drawing our attention to the outside margin, where you see under our Mivneh heading a triangle featured, Memros Shel Rabbi Zrika, comments of Rabbi Zrika. Number one, Mevi Mokor LeRabbi, the Dalid Mishmaros Havi Alayla. The first will be Rabbi Zrika giving us a source for Rabbi's idea that there are four Mishmaros every night. And the second is Ein Oimrim Bifnei Hames Elo Dvorov Shalmes, that when in the presence of a deceased individual, one speaks only about matters that are related to the deceased. So the Gemara continues now, giving us a source for Rebbe's idea that there are four Mishmaros. Kosev Echad Omer, one Pasuk says, Chatzos Laila Akum Lahoidois Lecha Al Mishpatei Tzidkecha. David HaMelech proclaims that I rise at midnight, Chatzos, middle of the night, to say praise concerning your ways. The Kosev Echad Omer, Kidmu Einai Ashmoros. Another pasuk says that I arised before the mishmoros, so that we see that chatzos, when David HaMelech gets up, he is getting up at a time that is before two mishmoros. So you have middle of the night as being described as point in time preceding two mishmoros. Ha ketzad, what does this reveal to us? Arba mishmoros havi halaylo. If a midpoint is located or situated prior to two more mishmaros, that indicates that there had already been two mishmaros, indicating a total of four. Rabbi Nosson, Savar Law, Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Nosson will explain this pasuk regarding that midnight is at a point prior to two mishmaros, in light of the Shita of Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Nosson, Savar Lo Rabbi Yeshua, this nan, Rabbi Yeshua Oimer, Ad Shalosh Shos, Rabbi Yeshua says that the morning Kriya Shema may be recited up till the third hour of the morning. Shekein Derech Melochim Lamoid B'Shalosh Shos. It is the way of kings. Kings sleep later than the common population. They get up during the third hour of the morning. For illustration purposes, we'll deal with what we call the perfect day, a 12-hour night and a 12-hour day, using the demarcation points as 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. The idea of David HaMelech getting up before other kings, and his arising is at midnight, and other kings getting up at the third hour of the day. The third hour of the day would be 8 o'clock in the morning, because the day begins at 6, so you have from 6 to 7, that's the first hour, 7 to 8, the second hour, and at the third hour, kings get up. So David HaMelech got up before the other kings. How much before? So, shis belelio, you have 6 hours of the night, because we said David HaMelech got up at midnight. You have 6 hours after chatzos of nighttime, v'tarti diyamama, and 2 hours of daytime, during all of these hours, other kings are still sleeping, and David HaMelech got up, havaluhu shtei mishmoros. 8 hours is the equivalent of in time of two mishmoros, according to Rabbi Eliezer. Each mishmor, according to Eliezer, had 4 hours to it. If David HaMelech got up 8 hours before other kings, so the pasuk that says Kidmu Einai Ashmoros, David HaMelech was proclaiming that I got up the equivalent in time of two mishmoros before other kings. That's Havaluhu shtei mishmoros, 2 hours in two mishmoros of time before other kings. Rav Ashi in explaining Rabbi Nosson and the psukim we had above, mishmora upalgo, 1.5 mishmoros, nami mishmorois koru lahu. The plural term mishmoros will be used to apply to 1.5 as well. So that the David HaMelech arising at Chatzos, as far as Rabbi Eliezer is concerned, Chatzos is 6 hours before the next morning. A mishmar is 4 hours in length, because there are three mishmars. 3 times 4 is 12. David HaMelech getting up 6 hours before morning is getting up 1.5 1.5 mishmaros before the end of the night. The Omar Rebbe Zriko, Omar of Ami, Omar Rebbe Yeshua ben Levi. Another comment introduced by Rebbe Zriko, also quoting Rebbe Yeshua ben Levi. Ein omrim b'fnei ha-meis elo dvorav shel meis. One is not to say in the presence of a corpse matters other than those related to the corpse itself. Matters regarding burial, etc. Omar Rebbe Abba Bar Kahana, we've highlighted his name with a dash underlining because we will see very shortly two versions of what he says. The next line you see a squiggle underline Iko the Amri expression, where we'll feature the second version. Rabbi Abba, Omar Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana, Lo Amoron Elo B'Divrei Torah. The restriction as to what one is to say in the presence of a mace is coming to exclude only Torah-related matters. Torah learning. What is it that you do not say in the presence of the mace? Torah matters. And the reason for that is that Torah learning is a mitzvah. It's the fulfillment of a commandment. The deceased are not capable of fulfilling commandments. And doing so in the presence of the deceased is in effect a ridicule of you are, it's a form of mockery of the deceased, as if to say, look, I can do this and you can't. Avol, the Gemara goes on to say, and we should point out that in Hebrew that expression is called Loyeg Larosh. Cheref Osehu, the laughing or jeering at the rush literally is the impoverished one. In this case, the deceased is impoverished in terms of mitzvah performance. Is cheref Osehu is an act of mockery of denigrating him. Avo mili di alma less lon ba, but common matters, if you want to talk about the weather in the presence of the mace, that is not something that bothers us. Being that discussions of a common nature are not in themselves a performance of a mitzvah, so there is no problem of loeg lorosh when discussing those things. Rashi explains she'en gnai lamachrish bohen less lon ba. It's not considered negative for someone to remain silent in the presence of a discussion concerning mili d'almo, common matters. However, in a Torah discussion, for one to listen and remain silent and not participate in the Torah learning experience, that is considered negative. And hence, in the case of the mace, where he has no option, he is dead, so do not conduct a Torah discussion in his presence. Continuing in the Gemara, the Ikar d'Amri, another version of Rabbi Abba is as follows: Amar Rabbi Abba bar Kahana, lo amoron, elo afilu b'divrei Torah. The restriction of conversation in the presence of the deceased extends to include even Torah learning. As important as Torah learning is, one shouldn't discuss those matters in the presence of the corpse. The kol shekein mili d'almo, and certainly lesser important matters, one should not conduct discussions in the presence of the deceased. Relating to something that was mentioned earlier in the Gemara, you notice there's a little arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. You can align this with the arrow above, which featured a pasuk that indicating David's rising at Chatzos. Before going on in the Gemara, we have a topic heading on the outside margin, which reads Deos Shonos Bahanhogis David Bishal Salilo, different opinions as to what David was doing during the hours of night, the nighttime hours. So here the Gemara asks, the David Bipalga Delelo Havikoi, is it so that David HaMelech rose at midnight? Meurta Havikoi. There is an indication from another source that he was awake from the beginning of the night. Dichtiv kidamti baneshef fo ashaveo. That is the basic question. There's a very short bracketed section which is explained by looking at the star on the inside margin Matrasa Sograim, the purpose of this bracketed section is the reason we have brackets is l'shem dilug, to initially skip, kedei lahatzmid hatshuva l'ashela, to connect the answer to the question. So we will demonstrate how this works by reading the Gemara after the brackets, the question being asked already, but isn't it so that he got up from the beginning of the night and not at as late as midnight? So answer number one, Omer of Oshai, Omer of Acho, Hochi Ko'amar. What the Pasuk says regarding midnight is as follows. Not that he got up at midnight, but rather, Me'olam lo'ovar olai chatzos laila b'shino. Midnight never passed while I was still asleep. And the reason for that is because I was awake already from before. Another approach is that of Rabbi Zera, and after that, Rav Ashi, which we'll get back to momentarily. Beforehand, let's go back over our bracketed section. We quoted a pasuk where David HaMelech is described as Kidamti Baneshef Ashaveya, that I was risen, I was awake, Baneshef, from the beginning of the night. Umimai, the Gemara asks in the bracketed section, Umimai dahai neshef urtahu, from where do we know that the word neshef indicates nighttime? And therefore the pasuk would say, Kidamti baneshef, I got up before the nighttime. Dichtiv, the pasuk says, Beneshef be'erev yoim be'ishoin laila v'afela. So you can see in this pasuk the word neshef appears, together with a reference to the night, indicating that neshef is related to night. So we see at this point then that David HaMelech was up already at the beginning of the night, not that he rose at Chatzos. Omer of Oshai, Omer of Yacha, Hochi Ka'amar. Thusly, we are to understand the Chatzos Pasuk. Me'olam lo avar alai Chatzos lailo b'shina. Chatzos never passed me by while I was still asleep. And the reason for that is, as we said before, because I was already up before Chatzos, I was already up from the beginning of the night. Rabbi Zera Omar, Rabbi Zera explains, Ad Chatzos Laila Hoya Misnanim Kisus. David HaMelech was drowsing off like the sleep of a horse. As may be known, horses don't sleep in a deep sleep fashion, and David HaMelech's sleep is characterized as the sleep of a horse, and that's the state that he was in until midnight. It's explained that he was learning Torah in this, we'll say, drowsing fashion. It seems that we can describe it as one who is very tired but resisting sleep. Mikan ve'elech, however, from Chatzos onwards, hoyim es gaber kari, he awakened with the strength of a lion. So that with that we explain both psukim. Beginning of the night, he wasn't really fully asleep. He was drowsing off. Midnight, he arose completely. A third approach, Rav Ashi Omar, Ad Chatzos Laila Hoya Oisek B'Divrei Torah. Until midnight, he was engaged in Torah study. Mikan Ve'elech B'Shiros V'Tishbochos. From midnight onwards, he was engaged in song and praise. So that the posuk that says, Chatzos Laila Okum Lahoidos Lucha, fits in very well with what Rav Ashi is telling us, that at Chatzos he got up, Lahodos is to say thanks and praise. The posuk indicating Kidamti Baneshev Ashaveha, that's a reference to the beginning of the night, from which point he started Torah study until midnight. We have a little arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. This is to be aligned with the arrow above, a few lines up, pointing to the line that mentioned that David HaMelech was up from the beginning of the night, which was described as Neshef. Here the Gemara asks, and we indicate what the Gemara will do under our Tat no Se heading in the outside margin, a subtopic, Birur Mashmos Hamila Neshef. Here we are going to investigate the meaning of that word Neshef. So the Gemara asks, the Neshef Urtahu, is it so that Neshef means night? Ho Neshef Safrahu. But Neshef is a word indicating morning. Dichtiv, the Pasuk says, Vayakim David, Meha Neshef, Viad Ho Erev, Lemachrosam. this pasuk is describing a battle, and it seems to say that David hit them, beat against them from the Neshef until Erev. The Erev is the night, so from morning till night would be the seeming understanding of the pasuk. My love, does this not mean mitzafra v'ad layla, from morning till night? No. This pasuk, the word Neshef does not mean morning, but rather lo me'urta v'ad urta, means from evening till the next evening, full 24 hours of battle. Ihachi, if Neshef means evening, and Erev means evening, then Lichtov, the Pasuk, should have said, Meha Neshef ara Neshef, that he battled them from evening to evening, using the same word, Oy meho Erev ano Erev, or from one Erev to the next Erev. Why the change in language? Elo Oma Rova, Tre Nashvi Havu. The word Neshef has a double meaning. Neshef Laila Vasi Yamama. It's Neshef indicates a transition point, or literally a jumping from night to day. Transition from night to day, the end of the night into the beginning of the day. Neshef Yamama Vasi Laila, or the end of the daytime and the arriving of the night. Continuing in the Gemara. Before we learn the Gemara, we glance at our outside margin. Nosei Mivneh. We have a topic heading with a structural note, and an indication that this discussion lasts till Daf Dalet Omid Aleph. A long discussion will ensue. We will see a house shape appearing a bit later. And we've explained under our Nosei Mivneh heading, Deos Legabi Hasheilo, different opinions regarding the questioning, David uMoshe Yodu Lechavein B'diyuk Sha'as Chatzos Halaylo. Were Moshe Rabbeinu and David HaMelech capable of pointing out exactly when Chatzos, when the midnight arrived? Bearing in mind that we're making no assumptions of their having accurate watches on their wrists. So, in the absence of clocks and watches, were they capable of determining exactly when Chatzos arrived? This discussion is obviously coming on the heels of that which we mentioned earlier, that David HaMelech proclaimed that I got up at Chatzos, seemingly to indicate that he knew when that was. By the way, you might want to note that we have a little star to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. If you align this with the star found earlier in the upper part of the page toward the end of the narrow lines, there we had learned a pasuk, Chatzos Laila, Okum Lahodos Lachamish Beisgava, indicating David HaMelech's awareness of when midnight arrived. So the Gemara asks, "V'David mihavi yoda palga d'leila emas? Did David HaMelech know when palga d'leila, the half of the night, midnight, when it occurred?" The question is, and by the way, this is a long question. Notice the long question marking to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. And as we read on in the Gemara, be aware that there will be a bracketed session that we will skip initially to make the reading easier. So the Gemara asks, is it so that David HaMelech knew when midnight arrived? Hashta Moshe Rabbeinu lo have yoda. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know. Skipping now, v'David have yoda. David, who is a person not quite as great as Moshe Rabbeinu, is it possible that he did know? So how could you have a situation where Moshe Rabbeinu did not know exactly when Chatzos arrived, and David HaMelech would know that? Now we go back to the bracketed section, and in the brackets we are attempting to show that Moshe Rabbeinu was not able to figure exactly when Chatzos arrives. So the Gemara says in the brackets, explaining how Moshe Rabbeinu, where we see he didn't know, Dichtiv, Pasuk says, Kachatzos halaylo ani yoytzei besoch Mitzrayim. We see Moshe Rabbeinu, according to Rashi on the Chumash in Shmois Perek Yud Aleph Pasuk Dalet, where Moshe Rabbeinu seems to be addressing Paro, and he says, "Kachatzos Laila, at approximately midnight, Ani Yotze Besoch Mitzrayim, the Almighty will pass through Mitzrayim," in reference to the killing of the firstborn. My kachatzos. What is the chof? The chof letter usually indicates something that's of an approximate nature. Ilema di omale kuchabrihu kachatzos. If you were to suggest that this is what the Almighty told Moshe, and he is now turning and communicating that to Paro, to suggest that the Almighty told Moshe Rabbeinu kachatzos, well, about chatzos. Mikos feiko kamishmaya, is there any element of doubt when it comes to the Almighty? The Almighty doesn't speak in approximate terms. He knows exactly when chatzos is. Elo di omar lei bachatzos, the Almighty had told Moshe Rabbeinu, I will be passing through Mitzrayim exactly at midnight. V'osaihu v'omar, Moshe Rabbeinu then turned and communicated to Paro and said, kachatzos. At about chatzos, alma mesafkalei. So we see that Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't establish exactly when chatzos was. V'David mi havayoda, is it possible that David did know? The Gemara answers, and as we indicated before, this house marking are responses or explanations of this of what's going on. After all, we did indicate before that David HaMelech did have the ability to establish when Chatzos took place. And our only question is, how can you suggest that David HaMelech had that ability when the greater Moshe Rabbeinu did not? This is the first of a couple of approaches. We will notice on Daf Dalet Amud Aleph, several lines from the top, another house form appears around Rabbi Zera, and at that point we will be labeling him house form number 2. So the first approach, David Simona Havelei. David had an accessory, he had a sign telling him when Chatzos arrived. In other words, it wasn't some type of innate ability that David HaMelech had, but rather he had a sign for establishing when Chatzos was, or, and we'll see shortly, an accessory in the, assisting him in this effort. The Amar Rav Acha Bar Bizno Amar Rav Shimon Chasida. Kinor hoyotolui lemalo mitoso shel David. Kinor is an instrument, a musical instrument. The Rashi indicates that this instrument had holes in it. Nikobov, Rashi says. So it was an instrument that was suspended above his bed. The kevon shigia chatzos laila, when midnight arrived, bo ruach tzvoinis v'nosheves bo, the northern wind blew. As part of a naturally occurring phenomenon, when midnight arrives, there is a gust of northern wind, and it blows, umenage me'elov, and the instrument is affected by the passage of the wind through its holes, and it starts to play, starts to make noise. Miyad hoya oimed v'oisek b'toro av she'ol amud ha'shachar. So immediately he would arise and engage in Torah study until dawn. So that's how David HaMelech knew to determine when Chatzos was, through the assistance of this kinor. You'll notice that we have a bracketed section, and this bracketed section extends till the top of the upper few lines of the Dalet Amud Aleph. After the bracketed section, the Gemara on Daf Dalet Amud Aleph says, Omar Rav Yitzchok Bar Ado, V'Amri Lo, Omar Rav Yitzchok Brei D'Rav Idi, my craw. What is the posuk that indicates that David HaMelech had a kinor suspended above his bed? And there the Gemara answers, Ura Kavoidi, Ura Hanevel V'Kinor, O Ira Shachar. There is a posuk indicating the kinor instrument, enabling him to arise before the dawn, indicating that the kinor was there to help him establish when Chatzos transpired. As you can see, the reason for skipping this is that the Gemara right after the brackets relates directly to the point we just made. And our note describing the brackets that you find on the inside margin reads as follows, where the star is positioned. Sograyim l'shem dilug l'hokel ala kriya. The purpose of these brackets is for the skipping that we just demonstrated, to make the reading easier. B'socha sograyim nisir laharos de moishe lo yoda l'chavein chatzos. Minor correction there. We read that already. That was the previous bracketed section, but there is another bracketed section that has an explanation. So in correcting ourselves, you'll notice that there is a star opposite this most recent bracketed section, six lines from the bottom of the Gemara text. The star in the outside margin, it reads as follows, Matrasa Sograyim, L'shem Dilug, for skipping purposes, to Miyad Achre Sograyim, a Gemara Sho'elis Maikro, immediately after the brackets, and we read it already, the Gemara will be asking, what is the Pasuk? Sho'elo L'David Kinor, the Pasuk indicating that David had a Kinor, Shehi She'elo Yeshirois Al Mashe Musker Khan. That question of what is the Pasuk for the Kinor is directly related to that which we just got finished learning before the brackets. But Socha Sograyim, within the bracketed section, Muvot Ti'ur Shel David B'Tafkid Manhig. The Gemara will elaborate on David HaMelech as a ruler, as a leader of the people. Od Totsa B'Shimush HaSograyim. Another benefit that we have in using these brackets is Roim Miyad Sheyesh Hityachasus Shnia, number two, the Inyan Yediosim Shel Moshe V'David B'Chatzos. By skipping this bracketed session and going to Daf Dalet Amud Aleph, you'll also notice the second house form, a second reference to David and Moshe Rabbeinu's dealing with Chatzos. So that even though it appears, the number two appears quite a bit off, quite a ways from here, we see by this skipping how there are two approaches to this topic or to this issue of David and Moshe regarding Chatzos. That having been said, we now turn to the bracketed section, understanding this is a subtopic, and under our Tat No Se heading, we have written Ti'ur David Kimanig Umachlit Hachlotois. We will see a description of David as a ruler and as one who makes decisions. We just mentioned that David HaMelech would have the Kinor arouse him at Chatzos. So from midnight till dawn, he was engaged in Torah study. What happens at dawn? Kevon Sholom Udashachar, upon the arrival of dawn, Nichnesu Chachmi Yisrael Etzlo, the wise men of Israel entered his chamber, Omrulo, and they addressed him, Adonenu HaMelech, addressing him as the king, Amcho Yisrael Tzrichin Parnosa, your nation Israel needs income. Amar Lahem L'chu V'sparnasu Zemi Zeh. So David says, well, why not conduct commerce with one another? Omru lo, they said, they responded, Ein ha-kimeitz maspil esari, vein ha-bor mismale michul yoso. Internal commerce will not be sufficient. There isn't enough funds available. The kometz, there are different pshatim as to what kometz means, but the simple pshat is the handful doesn't satisfy a lion. In other words, a handful of grain, of flour, isn't going to satisfy the lion, indicating something as being insufficient. And the Ein HaBor Mismale Michul Yoso. Rashi's explanation of this is that when one removes dirt from a pit and then attempts to replace the dirt, the pit will not become filled up with that dirt. So that what we refer to here as internal commerce won't be sufficient for providing their needs. Rashi says, we can glance at the Rashi, Ein habor mismali michul yoso, ha'oike chuya mibor karui, one who uproots the dirt from a dug pit, v'chozer mashlicho l'soch, and then throws the dirt back in, Ein mismali b'kach, it doesn't get filled up that way. Afkan im ein ato mechin laniyim shebonu, if you don't prepare food or sustenance for the poor from some outside source, we are not capable of supporting them from within, from ourselves. Well, upon hearing this, Omar Lohem, David said back, which means then enter into battle, try to conquer some neighboring nation, thereby increasing the national resources, and you'll be able to sustain the poor. Miyad, upon hearing this, Yoatzim b'Achitophel, they sought counsel with Achitophel, Dovid HaMelech's counselor, which path should be taken, how should they arrange their war. V'nimlochim b'Sanhedrin, they would then get permission from the high court. Rashi adds something very interesting here: is Nodlim Rishus Kidei Shispal Alem. They would seek permission from the Sanhedrin, and in doing so, the Sanhedrin would pray for their success. V'shalim Beurim V'tumim, and they would consult with the Kohen Gadol's, the high priest's breastplate that had a that miraculously was able to answer questions posed. And their question would be, would they be successful? Omar of Yosef, my craw, what is the pasuk indicating all of this? So the Gemara answers, V'achrei Achitofel, B'nuyo ben Yehoyodo, V'ev Yosar, V'sar Tzavo, L'melech Yoav. The Gemara now breaks this pasuk down, showing the role of each one of the individuals mentioned here. Achitofel, who was mentioned in this pasuk, ze yoyetz, he was a counselor, an advisor. V'chein hu omer v'atzas Achitofel asher yoatz b'yomim ohem kasher yishal b'dvar ho'elokim. The pasuk indicates atzas Achitofel, Achitofel being the source of advice. Continuing to the top of Dalet Amud Aleph, Benoyahu ben Yehoyada, ze Sanhedrin. In the pasuk that we read, we saw after Achitofel a reference to Benoyahu ben Yehoyada. He was the leader of the high court. Ev Yosar follows in the pasuk that we read. Elu Urim V'Tumim. Ev Yosar was a Kohen Gadol, and hence he had the Urim V'Tumim, the stones that lit up, let's say, had letters that that revealed answers to questions posed. V'chein hu omer, there is a pasuk that indicates this. Uvenoyohu ben Yehoyada al hakresi val haplesi. Now, as far as how to relate to this pasuk, there is a machloikis Rashi and Tosfos. According to Rashi, the word al in this pasuk, it says uvenoyohu ben Yehoyada. Al, the word Al means before. So that Benyoh ben Yehoyada, who was a reference to the Sanhedrin, he was before the Kresi Uplesi, which Rashi takes to mean the Urim V'Tumim. Amir Tzashem, we will see, Tosfos has a different approach to this particular pasuk. The Loma Nikra Shmom Kresi Uplesi, using Rashi's pshat for right now, why is the Urim V'Tumim, the breastplate and its stones of the Kohen Gadol, called Kresi Uplesi? The word Kresi equals Shekorsim Divrayim. They Korsim literally is to cut off something. In other words, they give a definite decision. Plesi Shemufloim B'Divrayim, that are wondrous in their words. The Acharkach, and then we noticed in the Posuk that we had second line from the bottom of Gimel Amit Beis, after we had read about Ev Yosar, then Sar Tzavol Lamelech, the general, commanding general, was Yoav. An indication at that point then they would enter the war. Omar of Yitzhak Bar Ado, the Amri law, Omar Rav Yitzhak Brei Rav Idi, my craw. What is the pasuk indicating that Dovid HaMelech had a kinor above his bed? The pasuk says, Ura Kevodi, Ura Hanevel V'chinor, or Ira Shachar. We glance at the Rashi. Ura Kevodi, Al Tiskabdi B'shino Kishar Melachim. Don't dainty yourself and pride yourself in sleep like other kings. O Ira Shachar, Shah Melachim Hashach Moran. Other kings, the dawn arrives and causes them to arise. Vani Ma'ur Es Hashachar, and I arise before the dawn.
the shachar, the morning. Following this, you see a number two, but in the context of our daf yomi shiur, so we will simply say that this concludes today's Gemara section. For those who are interested, there follows a shiur on today's Tosfosim. Let us now turn to the Tosfos at the top of daf Gimel Amud Aleph. We had learned in the Gemara that Rabbi Meir appeared to give two statements of Rabbi Meir, giving us two different times for the beginning of the evening Kriya Shema. The Gemara asked, Kashya the Rabbi Meir, Ad the Rabbi Meir. The Gemara then answered that there were two Tanaic versions as to what Rabbi Meir said. Tosfos points out, Delo motzi lememar, and one option does not exist. You cannot say b'shol shebnei odom nichnosin, which was one of Rabbi Meir's times, v'koyin, which was the other Rabbi Meir time, chad shiura hu, that they are one in the same. De'im kain, if you were to say that, the result would be Rabbi Meir hainu Rabbi Achoi lefi lepirush Rashi. It would then result in Rabbi Meir saying the same thing as Rabbi Achoi says, and if you have Daf Beis Omid Beis available, you will notice that Rabbi Achoi was in a Tanaic source in the lower part of Beis Omid Beis. Following the house surrounding Rabbi Chanina, you'll see Rabbi Choy, and he said, the time of Roiv b'nei Odom nichnasim lahasev. So, according to Rashi, Rabbi Choy's time, Shepiresh, Roiv b'nei Odom nichnasim lahasev, Dahainu be'erev Shabbos. That's the time that people sit down to their Friday evening meal. So that if you say that Rabbi Meir's Shol Shebnei Odom Lechol Pitom Ba'arvei Shabbosos is, which was in the earlier Tanaic source on Beis Amid Beis, that is the same as Kohanim, which Rabbi Meir spoke about in the second Tanaic source. In that very same source, you find Rav Achoy that also speaks about people starting their Friday night meal. So that if, once again, if Rabbi Meir's Kohanim Mituarim Lecho B'Trumasan, the Kohanim Toivlim Lecho B'Trumasan is the same as Rabbi Meir above regarding the Friday night meal, well then it would come out that Rabbi Meir is saying the same thing as Rav Achoy, and that can't be. Therefore, the Gemara did not try to say that the two Rabbi Meir statements are one in the same. Inami, another approach. Lo mistabro lemeimar debnei odom mimarim kol kach barve shabosus kamo bizman shakoinim toivlim. Another reason that it's not likely to say that the kohen and B'nei Odom Shi'ur are the same is because you would have been making the people on Erev Shabbos starting their Friday meal, their Friday night meal, the same time that Kohanim immerse themselves. Well, the Kohanim immerse themselves, Dahainu Miba'o Yoim, Koidim Erev Shemesh. They immerse themselves while it's still day before sundown, before sunset. And it's not likely that people would have their Shabbos meal, their Friday night meal, so early. Therefore, that's a second reason that we do not say that the Friday night meal and Kohen and Tevilah time are one in the same. So we have two reasons why that answer, namely of Kohen and B'nai Odom, two reasons why they are not to say that they are the same time. The next Tosfos, Kashya de Rabbi Eliezer ad Rabbi Eliezer, we saw a seeming contradiction in Rebbe Eliezer's, being that he gave in the Mishnah one time, the Bishah Shakun Nichnas Mechol B'Trumasan. We saw in a Tanaic source in a Braisa, Bishah Shakidesh Hayom Erev Shabbos. The lo motzi lemeimar mishikidesh hayoim v'koyin mitchlosim lecho b'shumosim chad shiurahu. We cannot say that those two times are one in the same, and hence the Gemara did not say that. Why not? Why can we? Why is it that we cannot say that mishal shikidesh hayom, which is we call bein hashmoshes, and the time that koyanim nichasom lecho b'trumasim is one in the same? Diim kain, if you were to say that they are one in the same, Rabbi Yoshua, Rabbi Eliezer, Hainu, Rabbi Yoshua, you would then be making Rabbi Eliezer the same as Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Yoshua had said mishal shekoyanim mituhorim l'truma, from the time that koyanim are able to eat truma. Therefore, saying that Rabbi Eliezer's kidesh hayom is the same as nichnasim lechol b'truma, when you find Rabbi Eliezer together with Rabbi Yoshua in the same source. And there, Rabbi Yoshua says, Mishal shekoyanim mitorim lechol b'trumasan. Therefore, that time and the kidesh hayom of Arvei Shabbosos that Rabbi Eliezer says cannot be one in the same. Hence, the Mishnah's seeming statement of Rabbi Eliezer in Mishal Shekoyim Nechosom Nechob Chumasan cannot be the same as that which Rabbi Eliezer says in this source of Kidesh Hayom Ba'arvei Shabbosos. As we said, because then Rabbi Eliezer would be saying the same thing as Rabbi Yoshua. Therefore, the Gemara answers what it does. In fact, it gave two answers regarding that issue. The Gemara then had discussed the issue of what is the need for a sign if the signs given for the Mishmaros are signs indicating the end of the Mishmaros. The Gemara said, in fact, it could be that the signs are for the ends of the Mishmaros, and if you'll ask, well, the end of the last Mishmar is daybreak, so I know when the end of the last Mishmar is anyway, I don't need the sign of Tino Kyonik Mishteimo or Isham Sabersin by law. So the Gemara says, well, I do need such a sign. Leman Degoni Bebayis Ofel. For one who dwells in a dark house. So he doesn't have the advantage of noticing when daybreak arrives. The Im Toimar, you may ask, Bahalo, Rebbe Eliezer, Boi Ad Shiakir Bein Tchilas Likarsi B'Kriyas Shmashal Shacharis. We are dealing with Shitas Rebbe Eliezer when we're talking about the signs of the night segments. But that same Rebbe Eliezer says that the time for Kriyas Shema is not at daybreak. You need a little more light, and that's enough light to distinguish between the colors of Tcheles and Karsi, shades of blue and green, which would require more light than simple Alos HaShachar. So that the question then comes back as to what is the purpose of the giving us a sign for the end of the last segment and telling us it's needed for one to say Kriyas Shema if he dwells in a dark house, when that time of Alos HaShachar is really not the time for Kriyas Shema, according to Rabbi Eliezer. V'yesh lomar mikol mokom, he says, even so, kevan shiyoda mosayale mun hashachar, when a person becomes aware that dawn has arrived, kodem shiokum, before he gets up, v'yizamein atzmo kvar v'higia oiso eis. So by the time he gets up and prepares himself, so the time of yakir ben tcheles l'karsi will have arrived. So the knowledge of the end of the last segment for one in a dark house for Kriyas Shema is of value, so that from hearing the husband and wife talking with one another or the child suckling, he will now know it's time to get up and get ready for Kriyas Shema. We learned about Rabbi Yossi's encounter with Eliyahu Novi. Rabbi Yossi having told Eliyahu, well, I davened in the Churba because of passers-by, so Eliyahu Novi says, you should have davened on the road, and davened an abbreviated davening. This Tosfos deals with the reference to Tefillah Ketzorah. What is that? Later in this Masechta, the Gemara describes an abbreviated Shmona Esrei
called Havinenu. And exactly what Havinenu itself is a matter of discussion, but suffice it to say, it's a special passage in which there is a reference to each one of the middle brachos of the Shmona Esrei, from the Atachinen till the end of, we'll say, Shema Koilenu. That is an abbreviated Shmona Esrei. The question Tosfos deals with over here is Tefillah Ketzara mentioned in this context of the Churba and Eliyahu HaNavi's recommendation or instruction you should have davened Tefillah Ketzara, is that a reference to the Havinenu prayer? L'cha'oiro mashma, the Tosfos says, she'ein ze Havinenu. That Tefillah Ketzara here is not a reference to that formal abbreviated Shmona Esrei. The Ha Kaboy Lekamon, the Gemara later asks, Mai Iko Bein Havinenu LeTefillah Ketzara. The Gemara will be asking, what is the difference between Havinenu and Tefillah Ketzara? Indicating that Havinenu is something other than Tefillah Ketzara. Im Kain, Lepirush HaKuntris Shepirush Bekan Dehainu Havinenu. Therefore, according to Rashi, that explains here that Tefillah Ketzara is Havinenu Koshe. That creates a problem. Ela al korcho hainu Tefillah Achrina. Therefore, we have to conclude that Tefillah Ketzara is some other prayer, kidem meforish lekamon, as is explained later in the Masechta. Tzorchei amcho merubim. There is a text in which these words are found. Tzorchei amcho merubim. V'daitan Ketzara Aleihem, another text that is unrelated textually to Havinenu, that we call Tefillah Ketzara. However, V'gam al zeh koshe, this too creates a problem. D'lekamon aminon, she'ein loymar tefilas shel tzorche amcha, this text of tzorche amcha is not to be recited, elo b'mokom sakona. V'reb Yosi lo have it b'mokam sakona. The Gemara says that Tefillah Ketzara is recited only when a person is in imminent danger. Rabbi Yossi was not in a place of danger. Pirush, what is a place of danger? B'mokam listim, place of a place of bandits and thieves, where one's life could in fact be endangered. So if only in a case of mokam sakona do we say Tefillah Ketzara. And how do I know that Rabbi Yossi was not in such under such circumstances? Mida heishivlo, from the way Rabbi Yossi answered Elio, and he said Shemo yafsiku bi oivrei drachim. He said, my only fear is that by davening on the road, I'll be interrupted by passersby. Velo heishiv shemo yarguni. Listen, he didn't say, oh, I had to go into the churba because davening outside would have subjected me to the danger of bandits. Therefore, the pshat of Tefillah Ketzara being Tzorchei Amcha and not Havinenu is also a problematic pshat. V'nireli kapirush hakuntris Tefillah Ketzara d'hocha hainu Havinenu. So Tosfos says that, in fact, I want to go back to Rashi's pshat and say that Tefillah Ketzara here is Havinenu. In other words, even though the Gemara later on makes a distinction between what is the difference between Havinenu and Tefillah Ketzara, in this Gemara, Tefillah Ketzara means Havinenu. Havinenu, in fact, is an abbreviated, it's Katsar, it's an abbreviated Shmona Esrei. V'yafagav delayet alo Abaye amad emispala Havinenu. Even though Abaye has been known to curse or ridicule he who recites Havinenu, hainu davka be'ir. Abaye's objection to the recitation of Havinenu is for someone who is in a community. Avo besodem muter, but someone who's out in the fields, which is an unpleasant place, will say, we've learned before that the fields are a place that there's more of a mazikin consideration. There, it's muter. V'ha de aminon lekamon mai iko bein Havinenu l'tefillah ketzara. The Gemara later that says, what is the difference between Havinenu and tefillah ketzara, indicating that tefillah ketzara is not Havinenu, hochi Ko'omar. Thusly, we are to understand that bein Tefillah Ketzara the Omar beperek Tefillah Sashachar could go in Tzorchei Amcha. There, the Gemara is asking, what is the difference between Havinenu and the specific Tefillah Ketzara that is known as Tzorchei Amcha? Avovadai Tefillah Ketzara dehacha, but the term Tefillah Ketzara over here, Tzorch Lomar Havinenu. You have to explain it as being Havinenu.
The next Tosfos, V'oinin Yeheshme Hagodol Mevorach. We had learned in the Gemara that the Almighty, upon hearing this expression, reacts with the Asher Mel Shemakalsinus Beveisokach, etc. This was a reference when we learned the Gemara. It says something that is reminiscent of what we call the Kaddish, in which we say Yehei Shmei Rabba Mevorach Liolam Ulomei Omayo. We continue in the Tosis with, we have a little marking here. We have a Roman numeral number 1, and later on in the Tosis a Roman numeral number 2, indicating that there are two topics that this Tosis will deal with. Mikan yesh listor mashepirsh b'machzer vitri. From this Gemara, there is reason to counter that which is explained in the Machzer Vitri. The Machzer Vitri was an early work of Rishonim attributed to the Talmidim of Rashi. And in the Machzer Vitri, he explains Yehei Shmei Rabo Shizu Tfila, that this is a prayer, Shonu Mispaulin, Shiamale Shmoi, a prayer in which we daven for the completion of the name of the Almighty, Kirchtiv. There's a pasuk in Shmois concerning Milchemes Amolek, in which there is an abbreviated name of the Kodesh Boruch Hu. And it says, Kiyad al Kes Ka. Ka, the Yud and He, is a, we'll say it's almost like a half of the formal, ineffable name of the Almighty. Shelo Yehe Shmoi Sholem V'Kiso Sholem. The pasuk indicates that the name of the Almighty will not be complete and his throne complete. Until the seed, the descendants of Amalek, are eradicated. Upirusho kach, and the explanation of Yehei Shmei Rabbah is thusly. And this is, of course, the we're explaining the Machzer Vitri's take on this passage. How does he explain it? Yehei Shmei. Shmei is Shin Mem, Yud Hei, is a compound word, shame, ka. It shall, yehei, the shame, ka, the shame, yud and hey, which is a half name, rabah, complete. We pray that it shall become complete. Klomar shonu mispalim shie shmo godol v'sholem. And umivorach li'olam. That expression, umivorach li'olam, have tfilo acheres. Is a second prayer, klomar umevorach liolam haba, and praised to in the future world. So that according to the Machzer Vitri, when saying Yehei Shmei Rabba umevorach liolam, you're davening for two things. You're davening that the shame ka shall be complete, and it shall be, and that the Almighty's name shall be blessed in the future world. So regarding the Machzer Vitri, here we have an inverted triangle indicating that the undoing, if you will, the counter to the Machzer Vitri's approach. Why does Tosfos say v'zeh lo nireh? Miduka omar hocha. In our Gemara, it says Yehei Shmei Hagodol Mevorach Mashma Detfilo Achas Hi. The pasuk is saying the great name of the Almighty shall be blessed, indicating it's one prayer. The Eino wrote Silomar Sheshmo Godol V'Sholem, and not like the Machzer Vitri says that it's a prayer that his name shall be complete, Eli Yehei Shmei HaGodol, but rather his great name, Mevorach, shall be blessed. So, once again, Tosfos' take, based on our Gemara, is that the Yehei Shmei Rabba Mevorach is a singular prayer that the Almighty's great name shall be blessed, and not a prayer regarding the completion of the currently fragmented name of the Almighty. Now a second topic, where Tosfos presents a certain point of view and then rejects it. And we've done this, we've illustrated this once again with a triangle and an inverted triangle a little bit later.
The
common belief is that we say the Kaddish prayer in Aramaic, because it's a pleasant and very high, lofty prayer. Al kein niska b'loshim targum, therefore it was established in Aramaic, shelo yovinu hamalochim, so that the angels who understand languages but do not understand Aramaic, v'yu miskanin bonu. And if we were to say it in Hebrew, for example, the angels would hear us mortals saying this very lofty prayer and be jealous of us. So in order to avoid their jealousy, we say it in Aramaic. So that's what Tosfos presents as the common understanding. The ze eino nira. Notice we have our inverted triangle where Tosfos says this does not appear to be the case. Shrei kamot filos yofos shem b'loshon ivri. There are numerous beautiful prayers that are in Hebrew, and we're not worried in those cases about the angels. Elanira, but rather, why the Aramaic for this prayer, for the Kaddish? Kenamrim b'soif soita. As the Gemara indicates at the end of Masechet Sota, Ein ha'olam miskamein miskayim ela sifra dekedushasa v'yehei shmei rabo debosar agadita. The world continues to exist because of Sidra de Kedushasa, sometimes explained as a reference to that which we say in the Uvol Letzion prayer, and Yehei Shmei Rabo, the recitation of the Kaddish that is recited after Torah learning. She regilin lomar Kaddish achar hadrosha. It was common to have a Kaddish recitation after the Rav held forth on a Torah topic. V'sham hoyu amei ha'ratzos v'lo hoyu mevinim kulam loshana kodesh. And in the Torah drushes, you found ignoramuses present. It's interesting to note that, in fact, on Daf Vav of our Masechet of Brachos, we find this phenomenon of people attending Torah lectures that don't really understand, and in this case, people that don't understand Hebrew. So for their benefit, lakach tiknu b'loshon targum sheyakum mevinim shezehoy lashonam. Therefore, it was established in Aramaic to benefit even those who are not of Hebrew understanding, so that they too would understand this prayer. So once again, to go over this last point, reason for Kaddish in Aramaic, the first pshat which Tosfos eventually rejects is to avoid jealousy of angels. Tosfos's preferred pshat is to benefit those who do not understand Hebrew. We continue with Tosfos on Daf Gimel Omid Beis at the top. In dealing with the issues of mazikin, demons or spiritually destructive forces, we say that they will pose a threat even when you are not alone, when you have two people, if you're dealing with their place. B'mekoimon chayshinon. Pirush yodua shrigilim shama mazikin. A place that you know that the mazikin, the demons, are present. Vahi deli'el, that which the Gemara said earlier, to betray upritzi leko mishu mazikin, that if you have two people that happen to be of loose morality, there is no mazikin consideration. And in such a case, we have two that are upritzi, we have to say that if it's a newly fallen ruin, the only consideration then would be chashad, but no mazikin consideration. Airi b'stam she'ein regilin. That's talking about an unqualified place, a place that's assumed to be where they are not rogil. But if you're dealing with a place that they are rogil, they are commonly found there, then even though two people are there, there still is a mazikin consideration. We have learned in our Gemara a comment made by Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana that one is not to say in the presence of the dead things other than matters related to the deceased. Ein omri b'fnei ha'meis elo divrei devarav shel meis. Uposak Rav Alphas, the Rif Paskins, Mishum Rav Hai, in the name of Rav Hai Goin, Dafko Divrei Torah. he paskins like the first Lashon in the Gemara, that the only restriction is Torah learning, avol dvarim d'alma less lan ba. But mundane matters, it is allowed, is permissible to discuss in the presence of the deceased. V'dafka ba'arba amos shelo. And this whole restriction is within four amos of the deceased. And that's what's meant by bifnei ames, within four amos. Our Gemara had mentioned that at midnight the northern wind blew, and it would blow through the kinor instrument, thereby arousing David at Chatzos. So the Tosis points out, Ruach Tzoynis Menasheves Pirush Levado. The north wind blowing that the Gemara makes reference to at midnight is it blows by itself. It's the only wind blowing at that time. To Amrina Beperek Lo Yachbor in Maseches Bava Basra, in the second perek, it says, the Gemara says, Shehi Menasheves Im Kol Echo Vecho, that the northern wind blows along with all the other winds. So the unique feature of our Gemara, of the northern wind blowing at Chatzos, is that it blows by itself. Because during other hours of the day, the northern wind is blowing anyway, but it's blowing along with other winds. This Tosfos is indicated by the note Shayach Liel. This should have been positioned earlier by way of order of the Tosfosim. We saw that regarding Moshe Rabbeinu's awareness of Chatzos, the Gemara had explained in a bracketed section on the lower part of our daf, where the Kodesh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu that I will appear in Mitzrayim at midnight, Bachatzos, and Moshe Rabbeinu said, when he was communicating this to Paro, he says, Kachatzos. The Im Toimar, if you were to suggest, Tosfos says, Mikomokom, Lema Bachatzos, but still, Moshe Rabbeinu should have said, Bachatzos, with the bays, Kemo Shomulo Minoshamayim, just like he was told by the Almighty Da, Emes Omrulo, he would be telling Paro something that is true. Namely, the Almighty will be coming exactly at Chatzos. What? Why couldn't Moshe Rabbeinu have said Bachatzos when speaking to Paro? The Yeshlomar, Shalorotza Lomar Lohem Dover Shalohoy Yocho Laharos Lochiach Im Yishalulo. Moshe Rabbeinu did not want to say something to them that they could ask him, Moshe, to prove that it is now exactly midnight. So in order to avoid being put on the spot, he didn't use that expression. It may be pointed out that the Gemara will deal with this topic a bit more extensively on Daf Dalet. And finally, the Tosfos, V'ein habor mismale michuyoso. This was a reference to the wise men approaching David HaMelech and indicating the need for Parnosa, and David HaMelech said, well, conduct internal commerce, and they responded, well, the pit doesn't get filled up with the dirt that's dug out of it. Pirush Rashi, in Yachpor, if one were to dig out a pit, the Yachsir Bo Aforo, and then return the dirt to that, Lo Yehei Mole, it will not become filled up. Tosfos asks, V'tema, De'ein Hanidoin Doime L'rayo. The topic at hand isn't parallel to the analogy that is brought. The sages had responded to that which David HaMelech said. He said, well, the bore doesn't get filled up with the dirt that is removed from it. There is a lack of parallel in this discussion. Sharei lo hoya oimer lohem. David HaMelech didn't tell them, elo litol minhu ashirim v'litein lo'aniyim. David HaMelech, when he indicated conduct internal commerce, his idea was to take funds from the wealthy and give to the poor. In other words, bring from a source outside of the poor. The poor are the ones that need the parnosa in this particular story. So, im hoya mitzave litol minhu aniyim v'lachsor v'litein lahem, if David HaMelech was saying, take funds from the poor and give it back to them, in other words, they amongst themselves, one should support the other, then oz hoya doyme lamoshal, then the case would have been similar to the analogy. Take from, you know, internal and return to that same spot. But David HaMelech never said, take from the poor in order to support the poor. Umeforash Rabbeinu Tam, mechuyaso, the expression in the Gemara that said, Ein habor mismale mechuyaso, that word mechuyaso does not mean from its dirt, but rather minavi also, from the flow. Klomar, ein habor mismale min hamayim hanoivin boi. A bor, a pit, does not get filled up with the water that flows through it. In other words, there are springs in which water flows, but they never overflow. They never get filled up. And therefore, the Chachamim were saying that the idea of conducting internal commerce won't be sufficient. Ubatoisefto yesh, ein habor mismali michuyoso, Elin Kane Moishin Lo Mayim Mitzad Acher. In the Tosefta, which is a collection of Tanaic literature like Brisos, it says, it explains a little further and says that a pit does not get filled up, Michuyaso, probably like the Rabbeinu Tam, unless you draw water into it from an additional source, from some other direction. The Re Piresh, the Re explains, Shim Tachbor Mitzad Zeh, if you dig from one side, the toniach mitzad acher, lo temalei, it won't get filled up. Shema shenoisen kan choser kan, that which you dig from one side and a place on the other side remains missing over here. Kamo kein ma shenotel min ashirim, that which you take from the wealthy, yischaser min ashirim, that will now be all the less for the ashirim. So that it's not seen as a solution to diminish from one in order to benefit the others. And as a result of that, so David HaMelech went on to say, okay, so don't try to support the poor from internal national funds, but rather seek outside capital through further or additional conquest. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.